You're listening to Equipped, the podcast that turns gaming concepts into life lessons. I'm your host, Isa Gonzalez, and each week, I'll show you different ways you can clear quests, fight boss battles, and level up, not only in-game, but also in real life. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of A Gamer's Take. And today I'm so excited again to have another guest. It's very funny because I'll explain later, guys. But let me introduce the guest. His name is Christopher. And so hi there, Christopher. Thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing?
Lisa, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so it's a nice coincidence because you guys, if you remember, I interviewed someone named Matthew last time, and the reason why I found him is because he posted in this group called Ready to Adult PH. And it's funny because someone commented, and the someone I'm referring to is Christopher, he commented on that exact same post, and it turns out he also has a blog. And the blog, he has like some articles about how he used gaming and he took some lessons from it. And I was like, I need to talk to this guy. And so thankfully, he said yes to being on the show. And now he's here. And so again, thank you so much, Christopher, for saying yes to this. It means so much to me to find people that like to use gaming as like a source of lessons as well. And so I guess to get us started, you told me earlier that you're currently a teaching instructor, or like you have students right now. And so I am curious though, like, how did you get into gaming? Like, how long have you been a gamer?
Well, I think, but today is 2020, so I think I've been playing for more than 20 years or more or less. I started playing since I was in elementary. The games during that time were Counter-Strike, Half-Life, Battlegrounds. So those games were usually first-person shooting or strategy games. And during my high school, that's around 2000. Sorry for the year. So that's around 2004, 2005. I started playing Ragnarok, this game, Philippine Ragnarok Online. So that was an MMORPG, so massive multiplayers. So during the heyday of the game, there were around thousands of players in different servers. Siguro, ano, yung mga predecessors of the games we are playing today. So I think I've been inactive in the gaming community for about 5 years. But the lessons that I learned from those years are still with me today.
Oh, I like that. I like that. No, I don't like the fact that you've been inactive in gaming. I wish you could go back to gaming and find some time for that. But I do like the fact that you still have those lessons with you. I think that's such a cool thing. And so if you're inactive in gaming now, I do want to ask you about like your blog then, because your blog is called Rat Race Running. And the two articles that you shared in the comment section point to that blog. So what was the reason why you created that blog in the first place?
Okay, so my blog Rat Race Running was initially designed to be an online repository or an online journal for me so that I can write about my running habit or my hobby for running. So the rat race is referred to the people who are usually, it's from a book by Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Poor Dad. So he mentioned that in the rat race, there are people who are struggling to climb the corporate ladder. So they are living paycheck to paycheck or doing things that are really helping them in the long term. So I tried to include those two words or those two phrases. So it became rat race running.
I'm so amazed. I never thought that the blog was created because of running. I really thought it was about personal finance. Because I understood immediately the rat race reference. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe this guy is, you know, a personal finance dude. But now that you share the true backstory, it's crazy to me that you wanted to write about running. Wait na, matanong ko lang, like, why did you want to share, like, your learnings and, you know, you said it was a repository for your knowledge. Like, why did you want to share that online?
I think because online is free, and also you can access it. So when I decided to write, I used, I think, WordPress.com. It was free, and also that time, during the time I was an IT guy, I wanted to put my writing in somewhere where it is easy to access.
It's always nice to have like these pieces of ourselves that we can share online. And though, kasi diba parang yung iba kasi natatakot na mag-share online because they think, oh, anyone can see it, anyone can get it. But yung parang good part about it is literally anyone can get it. Like, it's accessible, it's useful information that could possibly help other people. Kaya, oh, cool. Like, I think it's a cool thing that you're one of those people that have those blogs available and you're not afraid to share what you know. And speaking of which, you said that yung blog mo, it sort of evolved over time. Parang dinagdagan mo lang ng dinagdagan ng iba't ibang topics, from career to personal finance. And I do want to focus a bit on the personal finance part. Kasi yun yung parang hindi pa masyado pinag-uusapan sa podcast na to. So, when did you realize the importance of personal finance?
I also read another blog, so it's called, it's from Circuits Villaverde, so that's Ready to Be Rich. So I learned about the importance of personal finance. So I think that part was mostly for the career or for the adulting part, but I think I also had the glimpse of the importance of personal finance as early as high school through these games.
Oh, cool.
So I think you don't know it. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but Ragnarok used to be a pay-to-play game. Before you can play, you have to buy these loot cards. For example, you can buy 20 pesos for wherein you can play for 2 hours. This is on top of the PC rentals. So during that time, there was a boom of PC or computer shops. So before you can play Ragnarok, you need to buy, for example, 10 pesos for 8 hours, 100 pesos for unlimited gaming for 1 week, 350 for 1 month, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
My allowance during that time was only, I think, around 20 pesos. So I have to buy a loot card, and also I have to have money to pay in the computer shop. So I still have to find other ways so that I can finance my gaming. I think it's more of an addiction during that time. More than just a hobby.
And so for the listeners that aren't quite familiar with this game, what is Ragnarok actually all about?
So I think it's mostly like an online role-playing game. So you can select characters wherein you can level up to change into jobs. And there are different stages of jobs. For example, you start as a novice, then after some level, job levels and beast. There are so many complications, but to simplify, you start as a novice, and you can evolve into another set of jobs. So you can select for magic users, you can be a mage for EDR or attack damage range. You can choose the archer, you can choose a knight or a swordsman if you want unlimited attacks, or you can. If you want to be a seller, you can be a merchant, so on. If you want to be a healer, you can be an acolyte. First job. So you can also evolve in another stage, which is the second job. So for example, the archer will become a hunter, the swordsman will be a knight, the acolyte will be a priest.
Oh yeah, cool. And so with this game, parang kinwento mo before, you sort of had to find ways to be able to play this game. Kahit may bagong school ka, may allowance ka na budget. So parang growing up, sa tingin mo, like now that you're, you know, an adult, you sort of have a better understanding of things. Sa tingin mo, why is it so important that people learn personal finance?
I think it's very important because many people or many adults never get to learn about personal finance. So they think that as long as they're earning money, they can do whatever they want.
Mm.
But that's never the case because eventually adults will become senior citizens. At the end of their career, they will no longer have the money or the means to supply their needs. So I think personal finance is more than just saving money on the bank. Personal finance is about changing your lifestyle. So since it is personal finance, it should also be personalized with your needs. There is no one size fits all.
Yeah, I love that. I like the, oh no, it says personal finance. So why aren't we making it more personalized? I think you're the first person that pointed that out to me. Na parang there's no one size fits all. Though there are like some things that continuously work, like for the overall, for the general population. Like obviously, you know, the concept of emergency funds, the concept of insurance, all that stuff. Like that's a general thing. But at the end of the day, it really just comes back to you knowing what are your needs right now and how can you sort of better manage it given your situation or given your financial situation. And so I do want to know more about you though, like on this journey of you growing up, learning more about careers, learning more about finance. What do you think is like one of the biggest lessons that you learned in personal finance? And you've been mentioning Ragnarok a lot. So I'm curious, is there like any lessons that Ragnarok taught you about personal finance?
I think there are many lessons, but mostly are like indirect. So that's one on the budgeting side. So I had to budget my allowance so that I can have money to use when playing the game. But also there are these principles that eventually I learned. For example, the one regarding the law of supply and demand. So I didn't know that during that time there was, that I was already using that principle. It was only, I think, in college when I really came to have the deeper understanding of what this principle is all about. There was a time in another game that I was playing that was Fly for Fun. I think that's around 2005. So it's just a similar game to Ragnarok, but it was 3D. So Ragnarok was in 2D. So imagine the graphics. So it was 2D.
Yeah.
So there was this time at around 2000, I think 2005 or 2006, that the economy of the game collapsed. So since it is a massive playing game for, I think, thousands of players, so there is also an economy. You can think of it just, I think it's like a metaverse or the early version of metaverse wherein a person will have this avatar so that he can enter this world. So during that time, there was, I think, a bug that happened wherein the money can be replicated over and over again. So since the money replicated, it's like printing more money. So in real life, we are printing so many money. And what happens when we print so many money? Di ba nagkakaroon tayo ng inflation? So tumataas ang cyber yung inflation. So, during that time, sobrang daming perang iikot dun sa game. Wherein, yung pera, essentially, lost its value. So, wala nang pakinabang yung pera. So, that was the time when I lumalimplik aralan sa economics na hyperinflation. Possible pala nangyari. But I think it happened to Zimbabwe. I think it happened to Venezuela. Ganun pala siya. So, nangyari siya sa isang game. So, tapos nangyari siya sa totoong buhay. So, pwede mo i-relate na ganun.
How old were you when you learned this or when you realized that, oh my gosh, there's inflation in this game?
I think it's just recently.
Oh?
The principle, I learned that during high school, around 14, 15 years old.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know. I feel like that's such a good thing to mention right now because the inflation is going crazy right now. Ang taas na mga bilihin, my goodness, my gas. There's like so many prices are just actually not so many. All of the prices are going up right now. And so it's funny that you mentioned inflation because I feel like also, alam mo yung parang people are happy na mataas yung exchange rate ng dollar to peso, but then it's actually like a really bad thing. I feel like that's why not that many people still understand really what that means. And so yeah, it's cool that you got to realize that from a collapse of a game. Though it is unfortunate, I mean, there's a lesson right there anyway. And I want to start asking you about like your blog articles because I remember when you posted your comment, you shared two blogs there. One is the one for the lessons you learned through ML, and then the other is about 8 lessons that you learned from playing video games. And there were a lot of things that caught my eye, and I really want to ask you more about it. But I remember one of the things in your article was like you learned how to buy and sell. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because it was also through gaming that I realized the importance of buying and selling. Like, I don't know why. Kasi may kapatid naman ako, tapos siya, para a few years ago, nagbabuy and sell siya ng shoes. And so, I saw him do that, pero parang hindi siya nag-resonate sa akin. But then, there was this one MMORPG that I played. It's called Phantasy Star Online 2. And then that was the only game, or no, that was the second game that I started to, that was the first game that I started buying and selling things sa market ng game na yun. Because I wanted to buy this skin. Tapos parang you can get it, pero mataas yung in-game currency na kailangan mo. So I was like, oh my gosh, I just sold everything I could. And then it was my boyfriend din that taught me na, oh, you have to pay attention to your prices kasi like mamaya you're selling it at a super high price and then no one's gonna buy that and then maghihintay ka na matagal, ganyan-ganyan. So like, ang dami niyang pinoint out sa akin about selling in the game. And so for you, like, was it also Ragnarok that taught you how to play this game? Not play this game, but taught you the concept of buying and selling?
Yeah, I think most of the things that I wrote in that article was based on Ragnarok. So in Ragnarok, I learned about buying and selling because also, as you mentioned, there are things that you want to buy but you don't have the money to do that. So I think during that time, there was this card. I think it's the fan card or the fan cube. So this item was, there's a demand for this item. So there are many wizards. So these are magic types who want to buy this item. So there was a demand, but the supply was not really that high. What I will do is I will go to the place where the drop rate of this item was high. So I will try to buy them from players, especially from newbies, because mostly they don't know the real value.
Yeah.
And so they don't have, for example, an item is worth 2 million zen. So the money, the currency in that game is zenny. So for example, that is worth 2 million zenny. So I will try to buy it for 50,000. You can just imagine the multipliers,
yeah,
or the price that I got. But after that, I will just take the item and then vend it to another place. That game, you still have this character or the merchant. You can't just use any character that you have. You specifically have to have this character, which is the merchant. So it's the only character who can vend or who can sell.
Oh.
So you can have a store. You can have a store like that.
Okay.
I think that's a process. I will buy it at a low price. Then I will take it to the area where, I think that's the frontera. If you're familiar with the frontera, that is the place where it's like the center of the currency or it's like Ayala. The central district, the business district of the game. So most of the people who are trying to buy items go to that place.
Okay, gotcha.
So I will buy it in a different place. Then I will try to sell it in this place because the people are willing to pay a premium for that item.
Oh my gosh, this reminds me of another game. It's also an MMORPG, but it's called New World. Tapos this is the ito na talaga yung second game where I started buying and selling stuff. Pero kasi yung game na to, parang the prices will change depending on which area you're in. So like may areas na mas mataas yung presyo ng lahat, pero mas mataas rin yung selling price if you want to sell something. Yung parang ganun. And I guess thinking about it in real life, I mean, the typical thing is like the province prices versus Manila's prices. Everything is much expensive in the capital than provinces. And so it's interesting that games actually replicate that also. I'm just realizing it right now. Oh my gosh. And so why do you think, you know, that aspect of buying and selling could be useful to someone when it comes to handling finances?
Okay, so I have this friend who, he is my playmate in Ragnarok during that time. So he buys and sells vintage cameras. So he is specifically an expert with cameras. Mm. So when someone is selling this at this price, he can buy it, then he can sell it to another buyer at a higher cost. So he still do that today. He will buy an item. For me, buying and selling is also the stock market. I think you already mentioned that. So we want to buy items at a lower price and then sell it at a higher price. Buy low, sell high.
Oh, speaking of which, like Kailan, when did you start investing pala?
I started investing, I think, in around 2015. But during that time, I was into UITFs or Unit Investment Trust Funds. So they are indirectly invested in the stock market. I started personally investing in the stock market directly was during 2017, around 2017.
Oh, tapos so, ikaw na mismo yung like pumipili ng stocks na gusto mong kunin?
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool. Good for you. And so, kamusta naman yung ano, yung investing journey mo so far?
I think it's okay because I was primarily trading the Philippines because for the people who are familiar with the Philippine Stock Exchange, it is one of the worst performers of in the stock market for the past, I think, for the past how many years?
Oh, gosh.
There are still years when the stock market, I think, profitable, but most of the time it is not. So since we don't have the short selling here, we only have one way to earn, which is buy low, sell high.
Are you also considering yourself as a day trader or no?
No. So I think there is a lot of confusion regarding the types of traders. So for example, there are these day traders who try to enter and exit a trade within the day. So that's the day trader. So there are also swing traders who want to enter, for example, today, then sell it at least 1 or 2 days, maximum of a week. So my strategy is what we call position trading. It is like a passive, an active investing strategy. So I will try to buy a stock at a position wherein the trend or the probability of the trend will go high. The probability of the stock's price to go high is higher. So since the stock market is more of a probability game, there are more chances that you will be wrong. That's okay because as long as you are winning than you are losing, you will still be right in the market. So there are people who try to enter the market, but they think that you can just buy now and then hold it forever. And then, for example, think of the people who buy a stock at the peak, only to see their portfolios negative 80%. So that will not only change their mindset, but it will also change their outlook forever about this specific investment strategies or investment vehicles.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that investing is a probability game. I mean, I only tried investing for 1 month and then kasi yung story ko with investing, parang baliktad yung ginawa ko. Like, I invested before I had any savings. And then parang after a month, I realized, oh crap, wala pa akong savings. Wala akong perong malalagay sa investments ko. So I stopped. Like, I haven't looked at anything until now. Kasi I'm still fixing my savings and insurance pa. But then, yeah, I remember there was a time na I was also like, yung parang sobrang takot na mag-try man lang. Kasi akala ko like, oh, kapag I lose this amount of money forever na yun mawawala. Like, hindi ko na siya mababawi. And I feel like important din siyang i-point out sa ibang tao na everything goes up and down. And the stock market is highly, highly volatile. Well, obviously less than Bitcoin or crypto, but you get the point. It still changes every time. And if you can sort of accept that, make peace with that, I feel like that makes you more open to still trying investing. Because at the end of the day, investing is a good thing. You just need to know how to play the game. And again, like you said, it's a probability game. But once you understand kung ano yung odds mo, how you can increase your odds or how you can leverage something, I feel like you'll start to have more fun with it, or you'll start to see returns eventually. And I like how you mentioned na parang with buying and selling. Oh, wait, no, not with buying and selling, but like with trading, there's like different types of traders. Thank you for clarifying that with me because I honestly only know day trading. I've never heard of position trading until now. So thank you for explaining that to us. I feel like that just helps other people. You know, maybe there are some listeners out there that are interested in trading or investing in the stock market, but don't actually know like what type of investment style they want. So maybe that will help them. And since we're already talking about stocks already, I know this isn't really related to, I think it could be related to stocks or just other commodities out there. Any thoughts more about like scalpers or people that try to buy a lot of quantities of one thing and then create that sort of demand or that para scarcity na oh kulang na lang yung ano, kulang na lang yung products ito, bilhin mo na sa akin at this price. Like, ano thoughts mo sa ano nila, sa ginagawa nila?
Personally, ano kasi, para sa akin, unethical siya kasi, siguro hindi naman unethical entirely, pero meron kasi siyang, meron mga tao na wala namang products, pero talaga meron silang enough supply or meron silang capital, nagawa nilang ng sarili nilang induced na demand. Or yung ganito nga, tulad ng ano, kapag napunta ng Baguio, iba yung ubi jam. Ubi jam kasi, magkano lang dito kapag binili mo siya sa anong lugar ba ito? Sa Good Shepherd. So, mura lang siya. Pero yung mga tao or yung mga scalpers, binibili na niya agad ng ganito. Bibili niya as ng kahon. So, dahil nawawala yung supply, yung demand doon pa rin. No choice yung magbibendo, kundi itas yung presyo. So, di ba, nakita din natin sa concerts, maraming scalpers sa concerts. Di ba yung bumibili ng madaming tickets? Di ba, yung ganun? So, maraming kasi parang ginagawa nila. Ano naman siya? Parang, it's a way of buying and selling. Pero I think there should be a limit of that buying and selling or the idea that you need to hoard as many as possible so that you can sell it in the expense of the other consumers.
Yeah.
I think there should be, I think, just a level or just a certain humanity in terms of sharing the products.
Yeah. I totally agree. I totally agree with you. Parang gets naman na people want to make a profit and it's a business, quote unquote business. Ayan. Pero I agree rin na parang there should be like a limit or parang there is a point na parang that's just too much or parang, what are you doing? why are you causing other people to suffer basically? But yeah, I totally agree. Though it's fine to buy and sell, parang scalpers, I feel like they're just a bit too, they're like pushing the limits of what people can pay for. Nah, it's just not reasonable anymore to pay for it at that price. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, this is one of the, I think last, or if not last, it's like bandang last 4 points of your blog. It's about finding other streams of income. Now, in your blog, You mentioned that it's a good thing to have finding other streams of income and it's good to have, you know, not just one source of all your money, ganyan, ganyan. But then I think you're the first person kasi that I'm going to ask this question to. That's why I'm just really curious to know. Because I saw a Facebook post before. I think it was just like 3 weeks ago. And then parang the post was pointing out na, oh yeah, people are always encouraged to find multiple streams of income, but why aren't we wondering why one source of income isn't enough? Parang ganun yung vibe niya. And so, I don't know, like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, having heard that other perspective on multiple streams of income?
First of all, kasi yung income stream mo should first be enough to supply your needs. So, kung hindi mo nasusupply yung need mo yun, for yourself first or for yourself and your family. So, kailangan talagang maghanap ng ways to supplement that. So, for example, for the wage earners, ang sahod din ng arawan, ang daily wage ngayon, I think in Manila around 400 plus or 500 plus. It's sa amin, it's around 400 something. So, if that's not enough for yourself and your family, And you will have no choice but to find other streams of income. So the first is the need. So we are not yet talking about the capitalistic need or anything. It's just for yourself. Because if you will remember the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, at the very bottom you have the basic needs or the physiological needs, the things that you need to survive. If what you're earning is not enough to supply what you need for your food, for your shelter, for your clothing, and the way we have the internet as a basic need. So if you are not yet at that point, you have no choice but to find another stream of income. But on the other hand, there are also people who are trying to have as much as many streams of income that so that they will have the freedom to not work, or choose not to work. That is the other end of the spectrum. So the one is for the need and the one is for the wants. I think that's what I can answer regarding that question.
Yeah, I get it. I was just very interested in that idea that I saw on Facebook. Now, where is that line? Like, where is that line wherein people can see multiple sources of income as, you know, a way to create freedom? Because I also see people overworking themselves and they go crazy trying to juggle 4 jobs, 5 jobs, how many other jobs? And like you said, they do it because they have no other choice, right? And that begs the question now, like, why don't they have another choice? Like, what's the thing that's going on that forces them to, you know, overwork themselves? Like, there's no tomorrow. And then this is where the whole idea of, you know, capitalistic greed comes in and how the people on top always win. And we're not going to get into that today. I feel like that deserves a completely different, you know, a completely different conversation of its own. But I just think it's nice to, you know, to place that idea right there and just let people think about it a bit more. Nah. Yeah, there's other ways you can view sources of income. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but I feel like it's just those are ideas worth exploring. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. I'm curious now, though, like, do you happen to have multiple sources of income?
Yeah, and that's...
Okay.
So,
there you go. Is it your choice?
Mostly, it's my choice because I want to have also the freedom to just to work in a job that I want. So right now, I am currently teaching, but I am planning to transition to freelance writing. So I love writing, so I want to do something that I love. Not that I don't love teaching. I just want to have more time doing this thing instead of I'm currently doing now. So this is the second time that I will transition from one industry to another. So the first one is I'm an electronics engineer by profession. So my first job was in IT. Then after a few years, I transitioned to teaching or the academy. So after that, I am now trying to transition to freelance writing. And from that, I have earned from dividends. I just want to share that in the stock market, you can earn dividends if you buy dividend paying stocks. So you can check one of my posts regarding that. So there are also stuff like the high interest saving. So not all of the income sources should be active or require your time. So there are other sources of income where you can just do nothing, but you still have to put in the work. You need the initial work first. So for example, if you want to have dividend rate in the stock market or other investment like on EBKP2, you first have to invest a certain amount of money so that it will have a higher payout. So you have to put in the work today so that you don't have to do that work tomorrow or when you are older. Maganda yung ganun, pero meron din mahalaga na yung, to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So there is no timeline because 23 ka ngayon. So I think you're thinking about 30. So dapat by the time I'm 30, I already did this and that. at may ganito na ako, may ganyan. So, wag ka mo, siguro yun yung ano ko, na natutunan ko na wag mo pressure.
Yeah.
So, everyone has their own timeline. So, my line or what I can achieve in this amount of years can be different from another person. So, if I constantly try to compare myself to another, it will just cause me more unhappiness.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel so grateful that I'm talking to you right now. I feel like you're saying everything that I needed to hear. Because work has been freaking crazy. Work has been crazy. And I was like, it's Monday, right? It's Monday. We're recording this on a Monday, you guys. But for more context, like, last week was so crazy. And I just knew that I can't do that again. Like, it's like on the verge of burnout. I'm not burnout yet, but it was like going that direction. And so sabi ko sa sarili ko this week, Iza, chill, relax, rest, take care of your body first. Kasi I agree. Like, even though I say yes, I want to maximize, you know, my young years and my energy. And at the same time, you can't really keep doing that to the point that you're gonna be physically, you're gonna negatively affect your body. Because once your body isn't capable of working, then everything else just stops. And you don't want to get to that point. So thank you for the reminder. I really needed that today. But yeah, I loved what you said na parang you should put in the work today so that your older self doesn't have to do it. I think that's, overall, I think that is a pretty good mindset to follow. And it's just a matter of finding that balance right now. You still put in that work, but you don't overwork yourself to the point na you keep getting sick and all. And yeah, I think patuloy lang. Like, even if you're not young, if you have your career shifts at an older age, whoever's listening or might be older than me, whatever it is, like, there's still that chance na you can still find ways to improve your situation, whether it's financially, career-wise, family health. There's still something, well, I like to believe that there's still something that you can always do regardless of your age. And then it sort of brings me back to the title of your blog, which is Rat Race Running. Because it's about rat race. It's like, it's a trap, right, that people fall into. Now they just keep chasing something, but they never actually get it. I think that was like one of the valuable lessons that I also learned. I also read that book. And so I highly recommend reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It has a lot of valuable insights there for people that are just getting started in personal finance or they just want to start learning about it. Highly recommend. But yeah, again, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. I really appreciate your time today. And as our guest, I like to end the episode with a question of the week. So just a question that, you know, we can leave our listeners to ponder on. And so as our guest for this week, what is a question that you would like to leave our listeners?
I want to ask the listeners if they want to make their hobby, particularly, I think, gaming, to be a source of income. So today, that is already possible. So during our time, there is no way to monetize your gaming. So sabi ko sa nanay ko, kung available din ganito, yung Facebook streaming, siguro, ganito ang ginawa ko. So hindi siguro nag-aaral. That is not like, kaya sabi kong huwag kang mag-aaral. It's that today, the kids or the younger generation have more freedom to choose what they want.
Yeah.
Related to their hobbies.
That's our question of the week, you guys. Again, if you guys want to share your answers about, like, what do you think or what are your hobbies that you'd like to pursue as a career, let us know through the Clever FM app. And yeah, thank you so much, Christopher, for being on the show. I super appreciate your time. If you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to check out Christopher's blog in the description below. I'll make sure to leave the links there. Besides Rat Race Running, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience? Like, is there any other platform where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me at other social media networks or platforms. We can just search Rat Race Running.
Awesome, awesome. So again, you guys, I'll leave all the links in the description box below. So go ahead and check those out. And yeah, that's it for today's episode. But before we head off, you guys, I just want to remind you that we're still celebrating the podcast anniversary this entire month. And yesterday, we had our first live AMA event. It was so much fun. Thank you to everyone who asked questions and stopped by. We will be having more live sessions until October 22nd. So I do hope you guys can make it. I'll leave the Discord server link in the description box below. And make sure to tune into Facebook and Instagram because there's so much more coming for the podcast anniversary. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have a great week ahead. And as always, stay safe, stay healthy, but also stay equipped.